Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Okay, Joe, I won't. I just got a special instructions from Joe on something. Got it. Got it. I'm glad Sal is on for this because I just had the thought when Joe mentioned the Battle of Alberta, 1991, and those great, I mean, what a rivalry Edmonton-Calgary was in like the Gretzky years, and then Calgary got good. Sal, so you're a little bit younger than me, but this is what my life was like. Early 90s, going away to college, wanting to watch the NHL playoffs. Not easy. So going to St. John Fisher, no, I couldn't just turn on CBC. You know, like every night on CBC, there might have been a game, but that was out. So what we would do, the few of us who were into it, would convene in that one lounge that had a TV. And, you know, hopefully get there in time to be able to watch. I remember the Flames and the Kings one year was the series, Luke Robitaille, and some of those late night games. So it was not easy in those years, you know, by the 90s, trying to figure out where it was on cable, like sports channel and things like this,
right,
where you were going channel. To get it. But it was, you know, obviously this is true. Everybody knows it. It's just sort of a boring story. But it, in those years, you could not necessarily expect to watch those games.
No, that's right. I remember, though. You know, the Oilers were the hot team in my elementary school, I'll tell you that, man. Like, guys just, like, it was the blue and orange and Gretzky and Curry and Messier, like, everybody loved him. If you weren't a Sabres fan, you were an Oilers fan, right? I mean, that was just what it was. And they were just incredible to watch. And I remember those late 80s teams, the Flames, they start coming up, and they got better and better and better, and they ultimately got over the hump, you know, and they wind up beating the Edmonton Oilers, and they had a good run of it for a while. The Flames were good for quite a while. They were very consistently good, if I remember right, you know, for a while. But they always had those battles, you know, and then Gretzky leaves, and eventually the other guys leave, and they were still hanging around a little bit, but, you know, things kind of transition a little bit. But I remember that as well. I remember Hockey Night in Canada watching, and I think, Mike, you talked maybe last week about the way the schedule was set up, and it was like you'd play back-to-back and then a day off for travel and then back-to-back again in the other city. Right. And like, so you always had these games. You kind of knew like four out of five nights you were playing and watching these games.
Saber Bruin series, like, yes. say 1988 would have been Wednesday, Thursday, Boston Garden, Saturday, Sunday here.
That's right. And a few years before that, one of the games was in the afternoon. You guys probably remember this, right? And like, we were like literally watching it in grade school. They rolled one of those big box TVs in because they had, I think they had a playoff game at Boston Garden that night for the Celtics. So they played the Bruins in the day and the Sabres. This is like literally, if people don't know, if they don't remember, if they weren't old enough, this is during, like, if you had one today, like on a random right. Wednesday and played in the middle of the afternoon in an NHL playoff game.
That is so wild. Yeah. I mean, I'm the oldest of the three of us.
Yes.
When I started out, thank you, Sal.
Yes, you are.
When I started,
yes,
it was a big, like, the Hockey Night in Canada doubleheader was a huge deal. Like, what, you know, the late game, like, Howard used to always tease me because by the time I started, Howard was already in his 70s, and like, we you know, we worked together for a little while there before he left to go to Empire and TV, And he would tease me about, like, staying up late on Saturday night to watch the doubleheader on Hockey Night in Canada. And, like, now it's just, you know, last night I'm watching the Tampa-Florida game is ending, and my wife is on the couch reading, and she didn't have to work this morning, so she'll stay up and watch TV after I go to bed. So the Tampa game's winding down. I'm like, you know, I can shut this off and go upstairs if you want to watch something. And she goes, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, just put it on my iPad. It's fine. I'm just going to go watch.
So everything is always on, and if it's not, it's a story.
It's just ridiculous how easy it is.
Yeah. Can I bring something up about that? I don't know if you guys heard. Joe and I were talking the other day about it. I tweeted about this. I still think it's the most amazing thing. Like, it's not like a stat of the day for Howard and Jeremy, but here we are over 35 years later, and still the top four playoff scorers of all time are on those 80s Oilers teams. Like, no one's been able to crack the top four in 35 years, right? You have Gretzky, Messier, Curry, Glenn Anderson, 1, 2, 3, 4. The next closest is Sidney Crosby, still 13 points away. That just shows you, I've always said, I think the greatest collection of talent that I've ever seen on any one team was that team. Now, granted, Gretzky made everybody around him better, I guess. But, you know, I mean, it was just insane. And back then, you think about, they played best of five in the first round. They didn't even have seven games half the time.
And they all, those four players all did a lot for other teams later on.
Yes.
I mean, Anderson was one of my favorite Leafs. That 90, that 93 LA series, Glenn Anderson's a big deal. He scores a overtime goal maybe in game five. He played for the Rangers too, like Messier, Gretzky, of course. Curry with the Kings.
Yeah, with Gretzky. Yeah. Yep.
That 91.
I got a trivia question for you. I'm looking up the teams right now. So 91, they play the Flames in the first round in 91.
Yes, there's
it
two
goes seven games.
Two famous overtime goals.
Yes, there you go. It goes seven games, and it goes to overtime. So you know who scored, right, Mike? I was going to ask the trivia question.
I do.
Do you guys know who scored the overtime goal in Game 7 that year?
Yes. So in Game 6, if I may, so Fleury is a famous Bulldog. You remember Theo Fleury scoring on a breakaway and then sliding through the center ice in celebration?
Oh, yeah.
Game 6, to tie the series and send it back to Calgary. Game 7, it's Tiikkanen from the boards. Like, it's Tiikkanen. It's not even like a good goal, but it's 4-4
for a hat-trick,
in overtime.
By the way. It was his third goal of the game. It was for a hat-trick.
He had a great game in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, just sort of like, oh my God, that's it. Just one of those overtime goals that you just don't.
I mean, kind of like a little bit like Manson's goal last night, although it wasn't from the boards.
Right.
It was not it was like just, get it to the net. Oh, yay, I win.
Talking Battle of Alberta and NHL playoffs with Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Mike
Schultz, because that's why we talk to Sal.
Love it. Sal, anytime, man. Love it.
I'm thinking you might like to join us in saluting the Bills and the Sabres and the Bandits for their great gesture today.
Yes, you know, and it wasn't really, you know, it wasn't publicized. It wasn't for that. You know, I didn't even know they're going to be there. I saw things happening. I was doing my show with Joe and then saw the tweets coming out from some of the other reporters who have been down there, basically, and, you know, what's going on. It doesn't surprise me in the least that this is happening. And, you know, for Sean McDermott to, you know, be kind of front and center to say something to everybody about what it means and to see guys like Stephon Diggs, who, to my knowledge, hadn't really been here for the workouts yet. Like, we didn't see him. I don't think he has been. He signed the contract, but he was here. Lots of players and Sabres players, and you guys probably already heard the sound from Kyle Okposo. Does it surprise you at all that he would be so eloquent to speak about this? Not surprising at all. I'll tell you guys, I went down there yesterday. I don't know. I think Bulldog, you were saying you brought some food down. Have you been down to the site yet? To Tops?
I have not been to the site to the Tops. No, I went to about a 3/4 of a mile away to the community fridge on East Ferry. And I'm going tomorrow with Paul, and I think Joe is going to the Holt Street location to volunteer for a while in the morning.
And that's great. And unfortunately, I can't join you guys. I'll be leaving in the morning. But I will tell you guys, and I didn't talk about this on air today. I didn't know if I should or not. So Max asked me if we could go there. He wanted to put. He said, "I want to put flowers."
Yeah.
And I struggled with it. I didn't know if we should do it or not. He was 8 years old, you know, and I'm like, that's a lot. Like, I don't know, but you know, he wanted to. So I went to buy some flowers yesterday and actually went to another Tops, the one on Niagara Street, and they were all out. So they had they had balloons, and they had a little stick and I love you balloon, and they had another you know, plastic spinning flower. And I said, you know, this is good. So I picked him up from school and I said, do you still want to go to Tops? And he said, yep. So we drove down there. It's not far from my house. And when I first turned on Jefferson Street, I have to tell you that I thought there was something else going on, like an accident, because there were so many sirens and people. Yep. And I didn't realize how, because as you get closer, it's like two blocks that's blocked off, obviously. And I didn't realize. As I got closer, I saw then other families with their kids, with their children, Max's age, walking, parking, walking. We got out of the car. We walked up. There was a band playing, and they were honoring the victims. They had pictures of them out. There was somebody talking, and I'm really glad we did it. You know, and there was a memorial on each corner, basically, if you will. So where we were, you know, Max put down his balloon there, and you know, we stood there for a while and we talked about it. And then I saw news people that I knew. I saw people from the community I knew, saw another kid from his class with his mom that we knew. And that, at that point, I thought, you know what, we did the right thing here to come down. And I thought it was really, and it's not for everybody. That's fine. I'm not telling everybody they should or shouldn't go. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to go down there and then to see the pictures today and know, I know what my, how heavy it was for me yesterday just to be down there. And for those guys to go down there, yeah, I think it it was great for them to go down there today.
Right on. Excellent. Well, again, I commend the teams for, I mean, just a tremendous gesture this morning. Bill Sabre.
And people have to know, it wasn't just going down to pay their respects. They stayed and served lunch and helped out the community in, you know, any way they could. So, you know, that was a great gesture as well, to kind of to be there for a while today, not just to show up and put a couple flowers down. It was to pay their respects, to talk about it with the media, and to be there and, you know, say hi and greet the community, and also to serve lunch and hand out or help out with food or whatever.
Sal, so we were talking about the Rams a little bit, week one. I mean, what a great thing. We've talked about the significance of the Bills being chosen for that game many times. And as we get closer, it'll be more and more, less about that, more about the matchup. Such an interesting matchup in lots of ways. The Rams last year, how do you see them? Like, four seed, right? On one hand, four seed that won their last three playoff games, including the Super Bowl, each by a field goal, not dominant. They easily could have lost any of them. The Bengals were driving late, you know, all that happened in that game. But, you know, they also won, and they have stars, and they, I think I would say, make sense as a Super Bowl winner. So what about you?
You know, I thought they were a little bit underwhelming in the regular season for me. And at one point, they were 7-4. And I was thinking, I remember thinking, geez, they're not the same team I thought they were. I think you guys talked about it earlier, the three-game losing streak they had. Titans, 49ers, Packers after a bye, right? And even some of the games they won. You go down the schedule, I'm looking at it now. You know, they beat the Vikings by a score. They beat the Ravens. Didn't the Ravens go for two to win the game, right? Isn't that one of them?
When yes.
The Ravens did that? Because they did that a couple times. You know, they were within a whisker of losing that game.
No,
they lose in overtime.
There was a late Beckham touchdown. I'm not sure if that's one of the go-for-two games.
Right.
The Ravens had that against Green Bay and Pittsburgh, but they were ahead and without Jackson, and the Rams pulled that out on a late Beckham touchdown, like the front right pylon.
And I thought they were a little bit underwhelming there. And then, you know, they get to the playoffs, and they had the huge comeback against Tampa. And what I remember about that was right before the Bills played the Chiefs, like literally like the early game that day. Mm-hmm. And guys, I don't know if I ever shared the story with you. Like, they had the game on the video board at Arrowhead, and the crowd was packed, obviously, because the Bills game is kind of about to start, and there people are watching this game, the end of it, and everybody's really, you know, into it. And then every time they showed Tom Brady, everybody would boo. Everybody in the whole Arrowhead Stadium was booing every time they showed Tom Brady. It was hilarious. Bills fans, Chiefs fans, didn't matter. They were booing Tom Brady.
We're all together.
Right. So they were the whole crowd, it seemingly was Bills fans and Chiefs fans doing the same thing, which was rooting for the Rams, watching on the big board, which was really awesome. And we were all watching it and dialed in. And then it came down to, and I don't remember the exact time, but it came down to the very end, and right before a big play, they basically shut the lights off, turned on the video board, and here comes the hype music. And people were like really mad at Arrowhead. Like, what are you doing? We're watching this game that's going on, right? It was crazy. What a scene it was. And then I remember showing people in the crowd my phone of the score. Yeah, Rams won. And they were like, oh, yeah, Rams won. Like, they were excited. They didn't know because they were watching the introductions and things like that. And, you know, they go on, they win that game close. They win the Niners game close, which was not a very well-played game. Remember that game? It was like, what are these two coaches doing? Yeah. Like, I mean, they were just trying to give the game away. At the end of the day, I think you look back and say, they just had enough talent. They had enough talent to win. They were they didn't win it cheaply in any way, right? I mean, they were the deserved Super Bowl champion, but I don't know if they were the best team. I still think the Bills could have beaten them. I think the Bills had a better team, maybe. I think the Chiefs maybe did. And the Bengals held with them. I mean, they were there. 23-20 was the final score. So deserved Super Bowl champion, but a little bit underwhelming at times for me.
Yeah, and are they pretty much that again this year? Like, I feel like, I mean, they don't have Beckham. They've lost Von Miller, who they only had for like half the year anyway. I feel like they're pretty much the same.
I do too. And, you know, I guess I should say part of what I was saying earlier. It seemed like they always made a play when they needed to make a play, though. You go back to that game against the Ravens you talked about, Mike. You go to that overtime game, the Cooper Cup. So in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl, you know, the sack. Was it Von Miller or Aaron Donald? Both, maybe, whatever. They always seem to make a play when they need to make a play. And I think that's the difference with the Rams. And I also tell you, I think that might be what the Bills feel their difference is. That they needed that play with 13 seconds left. They didn't get it, right? They needed that one play. They got it out of the offense. They needed a play to make, you know, maybe a couple years ago on defense. And maybe that's the difference, you know, getting that one play when you need it. Yeah, your roster's good. Your quarterback's really good. You're doing everything right. You're well coached. Man, you got to have that one play. And, you know, they go out and get Von Miller, the guy who maybe can make that one play happen. So, yeah, I do think that, Bulldog. I think that they're the same team. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're back in the Super Bowl or in the NFC Championship game because I think they're good. I think they have a really good quarterback. I think they have a really good roster. I think they're well coached, but at times that guy just befuddles me because he makes some weird decisions, and I'm like, dude, you should be, like, you're Sean McVay. What are you doing? You know?
I feel like that extra game on the schedule last year and this year can play tricks on me. I look at the Rams, first-place team, their schedule, and it's just great. And there is, it's not that the one game against the Bills would seem to do a lot to that, but it might. Just there's one more marquee game on it, a first-place team against a first-place team. You have four games on the schedule in all like that that are new with that 17th game. So you look at a good team schedule, and there's just that much more to like about it. Their road games in the division, then they go to Tampa, the Rams. They go to Kansas City. They go to Green Bay. Again, they went there last year. They lost in the playoffs there the year before, I believe. And they go to the Chargers as well. I like it when it's West versus West. I like all those matchups. And also New Orleans, by the way. So plenty of big games on their schedule. We talked to Aaron Schatz earlier, and Bulldog asked him about Von Miller. So what did he look like, you know, by Football Outsiders metrics? And he's like, good. So are you hearing just like only praise for this move, Von Miller? I mean, big money. We know what sort of looks like the commitment, win now kind of thing. Are you confident that with how people are reacting to that and your own opinions – that Miller will make an important difference?
Yeah, I do. I think people are very confident in, you know, what the Bills might be able to do to utilize him because, you know, they have a defensive-minded coaching staff. He's so flexible and versatile. When he was in town, you know, for after he signed, what was it? I can't remember. Maybe the first day of conditioning or something. I remember, you know, we're talking to him and, you know, I asked him, like, you know, what's it like now? What do you do? Do you basically go and say, because I asked Sean McDermott at the owners' meetings, like, do you start drawing up plays on napkins right away with, you know, with Leslie Frazier? Oh, how do we use him? And, you know, Sean said, we'll get him in the building. We'll talk to him. What is he like? What do we like? Things like that. And I asked Von Miller the same question, and I loved his answer. He goes, I don't care where they put me. Like, I'm just a football player. He said when he introduced himself to the team, he just said, hey, you know, I'm Von Miller and I'm a football player. He didn't say what position he is. And I love that. And I think that's what it is. Whereas, dude, this guy's going to make a difference somehow, some way. They're going to find a way. I mean, he's just going to be able to play wherever he plays. And I do think that's the difference. Now, the criticism has always been since they signed him. Yeah, they gave him this big contract and at his age. Well, look, I mean, go back and look at Reggie White, will you? Reggie White switched teams from Philly to Green Bay at the age of 32. He's 1 year younger, essentially, football season-wise, than Von Miller. From the age of 32 through the end of his career, he had 13, 8, 12, 8.5, 11, and 16 sacks at the age of 37. Like, the dude had almost a Hall of Fame career beyond the age of 32. Von Miller, to me, just, he's going to keep himself in the greatest shape possible. And, you know, Peyton Manning said he's the greatest athlete he ever played with. I am not concerned. I count me as very, very not concerned about the age and what he can bring because, and by the way, Bruce Smith too. Go look at Bruce Smith, what he did beyond the age of 32, 33. Like these guys who are in top shape at that position, they can keep making a difference into a long way into age 30.
And I'm remembering maybe the first day after Miller signed, like so that Thursday, I guess, because that was a Wednesday when he signed. I don't remember the guest that we talked to, but whoever it was talked about him, watch him play the run. Like, he's not, it's not just, of course, you know, the sacks. He's known for the sacks and the bend coming
right
around the edge and all that, of course, right? But the all-around player that he was even last year, I was encouraged to hear when he signed here.
I agree. He is a very good all-around player. He's a great athlete, like I said, and I think that that's the other thing about him is, like, he's going to be able to adapt no matter what you put, no matter what you have him do or anything like that. Bruce Smith, from the age of 32 through 40, or 33, I'm sorry, the age that Von Miller is now, from 33 through 40, had 73 and a half sacks in his career.
Okay.
Just from the age 33 beyond. I think that's amazing to think about.
Yes, and they were all against Boomer. Every one of them.
That's right.
Who was that left tackle the Jets rolled out there that one game, and Bruce just ate him up.
I know it's tough. I'm putting Von Miller in the same breath here as Reggie White and Bruce Smith. Well, shouldn't we? I mean, he is one of the greatest sack artists of all time. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame. I do think that it's pretty warranted at this point what he's done to this career to put him in that kind of company. Now, he might not be considered as the level of Bruce or Reggie White, you know, by a lot of people. I get with that, but he is one of the best to ever do it.
I'm okay with it. Everett McIver, is that the guy's name? Does that sound right? Everett McIver?
Yes.
All right. Glad we were able to get that. Sal, have a nice break.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you when I get back.
All right, there's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, and his appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I love thinking back to those Edmonton-Calgary games. I mean, I didn't watch many of them. Even in the 80s, well, I shouldn't say even. In the 80s, it was tough to get them. We'd get the Leafs or the Canadiens, you know, and not always. Like the weeknight Edmonton-Calgary games. I mean, I'm a kid anyway, so I'm not staying up to watch them. But when I could, and it wouldn't be Bob Cole. I mean, Bob Cole is like the preeminent voice, but the games at Edmonton and Calgary were often an announcer by the name of Don Whitman, who I loved listening to, the late Don Whitman. Did curling as well. And just like there's a special place for Edmonton and Calgary. 31 years after their last playoff meeting, and they had a lot of good ones. Tonight, new series. So that's something to look forward to. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog also, at least in my case, I think Bulldogs too, looking forward to having Brian on. Want to make some golf picks here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready to make some picks.
I'm now, ready for this surprise or whatever you mentioned at the beginning. Yeah.
A first in the long storied history of our majors bet coming your way today. Now I'm at 11 golfers, which is not allowed.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah.
I was at 9. Now I'm at 11.
I don't even know what could it be? A first.
Something that's never happened. I mean, you know that.
Yes.
You're trying to figure out like, what
part,
it is.
That part, I think.
You understand what it means.
Just yes.
Haven't been able to guess it yet.
Deep, right. deep odds on someone he's taking. Like someone that he likes for some reason, success at the course, something his research uncovered. So he's taking someone that's like, you know, way down the board.
Or he's going to just be so confident about one guy. He's like, you know what? I don't need the other guys.
I don't need
just
the whole 10.
Give me McIlroy. All I need.
I did bet, I told confident. Joe, I did bet 20 on Taylor Gooch. Plus 13,000. The golf odds are hard to resist.
Taylor Gooch.
When it tells you 20 to win 2,600, you say yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I said to Joe, I asked him, am I throwing money away? And Joe's answer was, not if he makes the cut, which I thought was interesting. If he makes the cut and you can sort of think about it and enjoy it for, you know, into the weekend, Then you didn't throw your money away. If he misses the cut, then you did. I like that. I'm going with it. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. That's coming up with Brian in about 35, 40 minutes. Lines are open, 803-0550. This is WGR.
Were you aware at halftime you had as many points as the Suns?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Tonight, it's game one of the Western Conference Finals in the NBA. Luka Doncic there and Dallas at Golden State.
See the controversy on him today?
No.
He was seen at, I believe, lunch with a big glass of beer.
Doncic was?
On game day, yeah.
Well,
I respect
those guys are probably going to sleep in the afternoon, right?
Yeah,
I would think there's a nap there. Yeah.
Makes a difference to me. Fine. If the nap is part of your game day routine, like it is for hockey players often, right?
Uh-huh.
If it's a part of your game day routine, the beer, okay. If it's not.
You're saying it's helping towards the nap.
Maybe. I don't want to use helping, but.
I guess it could. I've said before, like, Saturdays at, like, 2, like, I better nap because if I don't, I'll sometimes think, well, I'll have a beer and then I'll take a nap. And that never works. I have a beer, and then it's just like, what are we doing now? I start texting friends. You want to meet at More Room? Like, right. It just goes off the rails. Just never. That beer before a nap turns into 10 beers. It's just not going to work. But yeah. I'm not a professional athlete.
Disclaimer.
Right. So maybe it's fine.
So that's controversial?
I think, being seen drinking a beer in the middle of the day on a game day is not a great look.
It's only controversial if he plays poorly tonight.
Right.
If he scores 50, then he's going to be like...
Beer.
What would it be labeled? A savage.
Everybody will be drinking beer now before games. Maybe. Like in The Natural, when there must be some mistake, Olsen's hitting the ball. And then they all had lightning bolt patches.
Right. I don't care how many beers he drinks as long as he contributes along with Steph Curry to hitting 10 three-pointers tonight. That's all I really care about. That's all that matters to me. He can miss dunks for all I care and bounce rebounds off his skull out of bounds. But just hit some threes, dude.
What is this now? You need who to do what?
He needs a bounce.
It sounds like it's so complicated. No, two guys.
I'm not saying it's complicated. I'm just like completely miffed here. Just okay. What are we on? Now we're on
Doncic and Curry 10 threes.
Oh, that's a gimme. Come on, that's easy. Curry gets 10 by himself sometimes. I like that.
What's the price?
Plus 250.
I'll take the other side.
Wow.
I mean, if it's not a gimme, if it's plus 250.
I don't think it's a gimme. I've played a few of these, like made threes, and I'm like maybe, go figure. I'm probably batting around 500 on a hit rate. You know, I'm hitting 50% of them. So I don't think it's a gimme, but.
I guess you're winning then if you're hitting half of those, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Plus 250 is the number. Yeah.
Hmm.
I got to make up ground now. The stupid Brewers ruined my day.
Another one. The Brewers. From beer to the Brewers.
Imagine the Brewers being able to ruin someone's day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
The Braves, who they beat, are not that upset.
No, I wouldn't be either. I got another game tomorrow. I don't. Had them today, and they were ahead all day, and then they were ahead in the ninth, and ahead in the tenth, and ahead in the 11th, and they lost.
They were. That's right.
It was the first game. They were up maybe 3-0, like, cruising, you know, game one of a 5-team parlay in baseball. Like, I'm in great shape, and now it's over. And now, of course, the other four are all going to hit. Two are already winning. I'm very upset.
I mean, two are already winning.
I'm just
heavy action. I mean, that is just impressive.
Miss a thing. I don't do this with baseball hardly ever. If I do anything with baseball, it's very like $5 on a couple of BetQL suggestions, and you know those are pretty consistently decent. But today, I woke up to $10. I started looking at hockey, and it gave me a notification when it came time to put the bet in. It said $10 in free bets. You want it? And I'm like, well, yeah, I want it, but I'm not going to use it on this. I'll sit on the hockey. And I went into baseball, and I just started looking at, and I just put together this. I was like, whatever, $10 free bets, bing, done. So I'm not really that upset. It was not even real money. But
you'd rather win, though.
You'd rather win when you're ahead in the ninth and the tenth and the 11th and also all day. Yeah, you'd rather win. Yeah.
Listen, the money is not the thing, and you say it. You say that every one of these times. Like, the money is not the thing. You just want to have enough to play with.
Right.
But it is also, like, real when you'd be like, the bleeping Brewers.
Right.
Like, I am laughing, you know. I'm smiling because, to me, you feel something, and that is what you want.
Yeah.
You feel something.
And well, I definitely feel something right now about the Brewers.
Yes. Even if it's bad, it's still good because it's a feeling, and other people don't know that or don't care for it, but so be it. For me, I'm thinking of myself, but I think it applies here to you. Like, the fact that you feel something is a good thing, and that's why you're doing it. And, you know, you would totally, to say the least, never feel anything about the Braves-Brewers game otherwise. Like, you have no,
never one time even looked at the score. I would have heard Joe say it a few times today, but it would not have landed on me with any import at all.
I think Joe's only putting it in sports because of you. It's not every day that Joe tells you the afternoon ball scores. I mean, but today,
I did tell him pretty early in the day that I had this. I had this going. Yes.
I think that's why I'm watching it too, because I have Kenley Jansen and a bunch like Acuna and Olsen. And Colton Wong. I was watching that game too.
He blew it in the ninth.
I know.
I mean, it wasn't just that slow news day. It was either that or Europa to put in there.
I've been watching that game all day with you. The Europa final
penalty kicks. Here we come.
But also on baseball today, and I don't know if he wanted me to do this, or maybe he hated it, but I explained to Joe how to get the win in baseball.
Right, five innings.
How a pitcher, I said, did you know, because I'm watching my fantasy team, and Sonny Gray is pitching in the fifth. Like, he has to pitch five, you know, with the lead, and then leave the game with the lead, and his team keep the lead for the starting pitcher to qualify for the win. And Joe's like, no, I didn't know any of that. And, you know, Joe and I talk fantasy football, like, every day. But in fantasy baseball, this is a huge sort of random variable when now, like, pitchers pitch three or four innings.
Yeah.
And that's what the team considers optimal from this statistic, which goes back, I don't know, more than 100 years. And pitchers would get shelled and still pitch the whole game because they were the pitcher that day.
Right.
So you have a pitcher go nine innings or eight innings in a loss on the road. Eight innings, seven runs, 13 hits, 5 walks, 160 pitches, you know, like, that happened. And now I'll have a guy go 4 innings, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 5 Ks, pull them.
Get them out of there before they get around the order three.
That's
three
right.
Times,
that's right? Right. Right. So there's no win. They should be able to, the official score should be able to give the win to the starter if no one is more deserving. But they don't do that. They give it to the reliever. There's some official wording. They give it to the reliever who had the most impact on how the game played out. And you can't get the win and the save, so it can't be the guy who gets the save. It can't be the starter. It can't be the guy who finishes the game. It's got to be someone in the middle.
Yeah.
Maybe he got one big out, or maybe he pitched one inning.
Yeah, and came into one high-leverage situation and got out of it, right?
That's maybe.
It. You're the winner.
Or not, even, and they get the win, and you don't.
I'm learning a lot about baseball today. I learned the shift is getting banned next year.
Is that official?
Maybe it's not official. I heard it from Paul O'Neill today. I was listening to an interview that he was doing.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. They fooled around with the ball again. And so scoring is down. And, you know, in fantasy,
good job.
You know, that doesn't happen in fantasy football either. Where, like, year to year, like, the ball is heavier. And, you know, you can't throw it as far. So Tyreek Hill isn't as valuable because the ball is heavier.
Right.
Like,
the laces are different. What?
Yeah, right. They changed the shape of the ball or the contents, and now, you know, passing is down because, I mean, baseball doesn't know what it wants. They will always tell you they didn't do it on purpose. That's what they will always tell you, that they didn't know about it. And then these amazing studies come out, and they're like, oh, I guess, you know, something happened here. We didn't know about it. So you learned that too, maybe. Brian coming up. We'll have some golf talk here as we continue.
I look forward to it.
Me too. I'm ready to pick some players.
Yeah, I'm tapped out on baseball for the day.
Let's get off of baseball for now.
I need to shake off this Braves collapse.
10-2 Twins now. My Sonny Gray getting a win. Venture is looking good. Back after this here on WGR.
Ricky Fowler's name came in the news yesterday because he said he hasn't closed the door on the LIV Tour. Ricky Fowler brings a lot of value to the PGA Tour, but he's not been playing well for a year and a half. If you don't play well, you don't make anything. Yeah. He didn't even make the FedEx Cup playoffs last year. You know, if you don't play well in the NBA, you still get paid. you know, hockey players, baseball players, they're all, you know, they sign these contracts, and if they don't perform, they're still getting the money. Where in golf, that's not the case. And I think, you know, I think they have a gripe. They have a legitimate gripe in that regard.
Author Bob Herrig on the morning show today talking about golf, the Mickelson controversy, and the PGA Championship, which starts tomorrow. Head to WGR550.com or the Odyssey app to catch up. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Golf preview and picks coming up with Brian in about 10 minutes. Joe and I have been watching the Europa League final all day with, you know, while we're working. And it's independently kicks. And we're down to the last one. Frankfurt and Rangers out of, what's that, the Scottish League. And it's down to the last one, and it's just ended. There was one kick missed in penalty kicks, one of 10. And I called it.
He did.
And here's
why.
How
did you call it again?
Here's why. I know nothing about the players, and I'm just mostly joking by saying any of this. But, you know, it's a particular drama to the penalty kicks in championship soccer. Like, just what a nerve. It could be the most nerve-wracking thing you could imagine doing in sports.
My God, I hope you get to the guy who was going next looked like a deer caught in headlights. To hear you say that would just be amazing.
Well, I'm sort of saying that here, actually. I've not used the phrase. The guy who missed, he didn't strike it that badly. He went low, middle, maybe he mishit it, and the goalie was falling to one side. He did a good job of kicking it back out and keeping it out of the net. But I was looking at this guy for Rangers, Ramsey was his name, and I don't know why I focused on him, but he never looked up. He walked out to the spot. He was looking down at the ground, and he got the ball from the official, put the ball on the spot. The whole time they showed him, he never looked up. He was always looking down at the ball. And I thought to myself, he's probably telling himself to do that.
Right. Don't look at the crowd. Don't look at the moment. Just,
you know,
kick a penalty.
That's how I think. I could see somebody, in terms of nerves, that's the message. Is just, you know, it's just you and the ball. Don't look at the crowd, right? All the things you said. Or even the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper is, you know, not going to give anything away. He's jumping up and down, standing in the middle almost every time. And the guy didn't look up, and he was the one guy to miss. I'm not sure if everybody else looked up or not, but it just sort of was I thought it was like a tell that he was thinking about it.
And should have live bet it.
Yeah, that would have been fast work. The Frankfurt won, and two or three of their guys in the penalties, I mean, one was like almost square off the post, just enough on the inside of the post to go into the net. The next guy, the goalie guesses perfectly, diving to the low corner, but the guy's shot was so fine that he couldn't get there. Like, it was just perfect. Their five were pretty much just all perfect. So they win. Rangers had a chance to be what? The first team from Scotland into Champions League since 1970?
Yes. Yeah, the winner of Europa goes to Champions League next year, and no Scottish team has done that in over 50 years.
So close. You hate it for the guy that misses. I mean, just what a terrible thing for them in their careers. They go from just, you know, wherever they're at, whatever level they play at, or however famous or prominent they are, to just like the guy who didn't score in the penalties in the final. Just so tough. At least this guy didn't miss the net. See, look at that one, Joe. Perfect. Return address. Just perfect. And the goalie's kind of right there, but still, like, the shots that Frankfurt won on were just so good.
That's why before the shot, you got to point to it. Like, talk to the goal. I'm shooting it on your upper left. I'm
and
still
you have
gonna
no
score.
Chance. If I hit it right, you have no
you
chance.
You have no chance.
They kind of did. That's kind of what happened there.
Yeah.
Brian, next. The PGA starts tomorrow. Bryson DeChambeau withdrew today. He had surgery on his left hand like a month ago. And I think it was considered a little bit crazy that he would have been likely expected to play in this tournament. But just today, he's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. He was not among the favorites because of his injury, you know, most of all. We'll talk about the tournament. Brian will tell us who he likes. Then I'll pick who I like as we continue. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.